You know, he is intelligent, forward-thinking, aggressive. He's to paraphrase Wayne Gretzky, he's coaching to where football is going.
It's time for the Tri-State Sports Beat with your hosts, Nick Federico, Scott DeBell, and Joe Bruno.
Well, now that I'm crying from either laughter or sadness, I can't tell. Welcome to the Tri-State Sports Beat, everyone. Nick, Joe, and Scott here. Yeah, I'm just going to prepare you now. There's going to be a lot of yelling.
Again.
A lot.
Yes, to quote Herb Brooks, again.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
you know,
that may be the greatest intro of all time. Nick did not show us that beforehand in our Zoom call. Joe and I were literally dying laughing. that was incredible.
Well, when your football team is a clown show, I mean, the guy that owns the team might as well just, you know, be walking around with clown music, with circus music all over the place. I mean, here's the bottom line. The New York Jets should be relegated to the AAF. At this point,
the Arena Football League.
Like, what else, through 2 weeks, what else can we even say about this football team? 2 weeks in, the season's over before it really even starts. Like, the worst team in the NFL, not even a competition. It's not even close. This team is so unprepared every single week, and we have to sit there and watch it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Let's start with the defense for one, because Greg Williams was supposed to come here and be this again. Though I never want to hear the word guru ever again. If the next head coach of the New York Jets is a guru, I don't want him of any sort. The defense, this group, did the 49ers have a bunch of, were their players like droughts and Vaseline? Like, the Jets were sliding all over them. They couldn't freaking tackle nobody.
Well, that didn't change from week one.
Oh, my God. And it didn't even take long. The first friggin' play, Raheem Mostert, 80-yard touchdown. Good for my fantasy team. Fantastic.
Great for mine.
Good thing I freaking played him, because I knew this was going to happen. But nobody even touches the guy? And once you see that, Scott, we were on FaceTime for that point, I think. And you can just laugh. You can't even cry. You can just laugh. You got to be kidding me. First play, and friggin' Alec Ogletree. I feel bad for him because he's been here for like less than a week, and he was thrown out there. But like, where's Avery Williamson?
You know, and I was I was going to text you guys and be like, oh, look, we got Alec Ogleson. He's on the active roster. I didn't think he was going to play. But
of course he was. Of course he was. Oh, my God. And, you know, we got to get on Greg Williams. Now it's time to get on Greg Williams because I'm sick and friggin' tired through 2 weeks of the year. And this even goes back to last year a little bit. Enough with the bend but don't break friggin' pillow fight coverage that these cornerbacks in the secondary are throwing out there. What is this? Can like
it makes you think? Did Adam Gase get in his ear too?
Oh my god! Like the zone really coverage ridiculous. Is as soft as I've ever seen. Like the Jets can't tackle guys anyway, so you might as well let them blow past you in man coverage. What does it matter? They get away anyway. It don't matter. Oh my god! Like does the defense really piss me off? Like we'll get to the offense in a second. We're gonna like spend most of the majority of the time on that. But like the defense is, I don't think is getting enough blame here. It was bad.
Well, if you think about it, we didn't even get to this part yet. 3rd and 31, 55-yard run. We make Jerick McKinnon look like Barry Sanders.
Oh my god!
Who gives up a 3rd and 31? That was like I'm pretty sure all the
50-plus yard run, no?
Oh, and also, first play of the game. 55 yards. Yeah, 55 yards on 3rd and 31. Also, first play of the game. The greatest third-round pick of all time, Ashton Davis, was on the field. Welcome to the NFL, Ashton, your first defensive play, and you get beat for a freaking 80 yards down the field, touchdown. Oh. You could even put your hiney on your couch before they were in the end zone.
And then here's the best part, you know? On the offensive side for the 49ers, Jimmy G is playing on one freaking leg for the entire first half. And then Nick Mullins comes in, and he looks like the freaking next coming of Joe Montana in the second half against the Jets. Like, here's the one thing.
Nick Mullins threw for 11 attempts and had 8 completions. Oh,
and he had, like, what, 55 yards or something like that? I don't know.
71. Yeah. 71.
Like,
at least we intercepted him.
You gotta be kidding me. The fact that we sat there, like, we're Jet fans, so, like, of course we're going to sit there and take this misery all season long. But, like, again, non-competitive. And I don't expect that from the defense. Greg Williams freaking gets in these guys' ear. What, is he just not yelling at them anymore? Like, is he just throwing in the towel and say, oh, let's, I'm looking forward to my next job. I'm going to be out of here this year. Like, oh, my God.
He wants to go meet Jamal in Seattle.
I can't deal with it. But, like, here's the one positive. Quinnen Williams, who we bag all the time on here, had the day of his career. 2 sacks and... You know, other than that, the Jets had no pressure, for one. But 2 sacks from Quinnen Williams. Fantastic. Great. Jets couldn't
Forced
do anything
fumble
with
on
it.
One of them.
Yeah.
Forced fumble.
Couldn't recover it, of course. Nobody else could pounce on the ball while Quinn's on the ground trying to reach for the ball with his friggin' on his back, but whatever. And then Marcus May, after having a great game last week, where the hell was he? He wasn't able to cover a guy that hasn't caught a touchdown in 600-plus days. Someone explain that to me. Someone explain that to me, please. Oh, my God. Like, and then the 3rd and 31 on a 55-yard run by McKinnon. Like, that's just a lack of effort. There's no other way to say it. That's just a lack of freaking effort. 3rd and 31, I think there was a penalty, and I think Quinnen got a second sack. 3rd and 31, they're backed up to, I think, the Jets' own, like, 5 or 6-yard line. And they convert easily, untouched. McKinnon cuts back to the left. Nobody's there. I don't understand. No effort. Nothing. And to top it all off, they were without their starting center. Garoppolo didn't play the second half. No Deebo Samuel. No George Kittle. The Jets didn't have to friggin' cover nobody. I don't know. Someone else, please talk, because now I have a headache, and we didn't even get halfway through yet. Oh, my God.
Hey, you know, one person we rip a lot who, you know, let's transition to a positive. Jesus. Quinnen freaking Williams. Fantastic. Can he do this every week, please?
No, he can't. He can't.
He made that offensive lineman look like a ragdoll.
He did.
And he forced a fumble. Of course, no one else on our defense has the awareness to go try and hop on the ball.
No.
He was down there like a freaking mummy. Just landing there, trying to reach his T-Rex arm out there to try and grab the ball. And, you know, unfortunately didn't recover it. But can you ask him to do everything? No.
No.
The reason Avery did not play was they wanted to ease him in because he hadn't played since 2018. There's no room for that.
The Jets lack talent as it is. You don't re-sign. You cut James Burgess, who was promising. He wasn't all-worldly, but, like, he could play. You cut him, for one, and you don't even want to play Avery Williamson. You'd rather play a guy that has been here a week? What sense does that make?
How much?
And then this...
And, I mean, go ahead. Could, could, Could Mike Maccagnan have re-signed Demario Davis? is that out of like?
He's an all-pro, pro bowler now, all-pro.
Yeah, yeah, but no, we don't want him. No. We don't need him. We don't need good players in the Jets. We don't need him. Go walk. See
you. See you later. Now let's get to this friggin' offense, because there's no one. There's literally, you watch this whole entire game, there's no one else to blame other than this absolute buffoon of a head coach. Like, this team, again, not competitive. They come out, the first two drives, Scott, you and I were like, wow, they may actually have something going here. They go six plays, and we're all excited because they got 21 freaking yards on six plays. Normal people aren't excited by that, but Jets Nation, we're very excited by that because we don't even get that most of the time. And they look somewhat competent. They get a field goal. They're down 7-3 after they give up the 80-yard touchdown. And then it all started going wrong on fourth down and one. Adam Gase. Again, bringing up a guy on your practice squad, you don't want to run your 37-year-old quarterback running back three straight times up the middle, because you shouldn't have even ran him two straight times up the middle, because that's just buffoon-like play calling. But you go with Josh Adams up the middle? Are we freaking kidding?
I texted you right before that, right after that play. I was like, are you serious?
The game's over. The game's over when by that happened. Go ahead,
we need to talk more in depth about this play, because what came out after in the post game and the day after press conferences or whatever, Sam Darnold doesn't have the freedom to call a QB sneak on fourth and one. He has to listen to this freaking moron.
That's a whole
who has
other,
no
that's a,
idea that's what he's talking about. And no wonder Sam is failing.
That's a whole other. That's a whole other problem. Like,
what NFL quarterback doesn't have the option to freaking audible out of a fourth and one play to a QB sneak? And apparently Adam Gase doesn't believe in QB sneaks because you get too injured.
Tom Brady's been freaking running QB sneaks for 20 goddamn years, and it works every time. But no, the offensive guru is too good for a QB sneak. Are we kidding? Are we kidding? At this point, you do anything to get a freaking yard, because, not to mention, the Jets love, he loves to throw the ball, not even to the first down marker. He loves to throw it behind the sticks. This team might as well run the triple freaking option. Nothing against the triple option. Nothing against the, you know, Army, Navy, and Air Force. But, like, the Jets may as well just run the triple option if they're going to keep throwing the ball behind the line of scrimmage. What are we doing?
And then the third and three.
Oh.
First of all, can Josh Malone run a 3-yard route? Is that, like, you know,
it's not
above
even
his
it's not
grade?
It's not even. Oh my god! It's not even impossible. That. He's 2 yards short of the sticks. It's not even that.
Yeah, can he run a 3-yard route though?
I guess not.
Can he run the route to
I guess
the first
not.
Down marker?
I guess
so
not.
What's the? How many wide receiver screens and 3-yard outs do we have to watch before this freaking eye bulging
freak
moron freaking figures it out?
And then at this point, you know, they're down 24-3, right? After Pierre Desir gets an absolute gift of an interception, because, you know, he never touched the ball in the first two games to begin with. First of all, can Chris Herndon freaking catch the ball, please? Sam is literally doing everything he can to try and run away from the 49ers, who by then, Nick Bosa is out, Solomon Thomas is out, they're already down Richard Sherman. Like, what? Like,
no D Ford coming
no
in.
No D Ford, that's right.
So they're literally their JV defensive line.
Exactly. And their secondary was nothing to you know, ride home about either. They had no names back there. But can Chris Herndon freaking catch the ball, please? What does Sam have to do? Does he have to do a magic trick to get the ball where Chris Herndon likes to catch it? It's right in your chest. Freaking catch it.
Well, of course. Adam Gase
the brilliant tight end who Gase was salivating about how good he is, how much he's going to use him. He had what? One catch for 5 yards last week against Buffalo, and then this week, dropped the pass. Screw us, right?
Fumble last week.
Jesus.
And like, Sam had a fantastic connection with Ryan Griffin last year.
Yeah.
Can we put Herndon and Ryan Griffin on the field at the same time?
No.
I feel like Ryan Griffin isn't even on the sideline.
No.
He might as well just stay in the locker room.
Oh, no, but when Sam did throw the ball to him, he got an offensive pass interference. Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. And then second of all, you know, on top of all that, when Herndon not catching the ball, it's fourth down, right? The brilliant head coach says, down 24-3, you know what? Nah, I don't want to score a touchdown. I don't want to try and win the game. I'm going to send my kicker out there, who I got to give it to him, has been fantastic through 2 weeks. Sam Ficken is the light to my eyes right now for the Jets.
Remember the name. What did I say last year?
Okay, Joe, you're right through 2 weeks. I'll give you that. But this brilliant head coach, this offensive mastermind, cannot draw up a play on 4th and 6 or 7 or whatever it is.
This is what he said. He said, we don't have a play in the playbook for that situation.
a blind horse could draw up a play on 4th and 7 to at least throw the ball to the friggin' end zone.
And then that one time when it's 3rd and 18 and he runs the draw up the middle with Frank Gore, you know, we're down, got to play for the field goal, bro. You know, there's freaking defensive pass interference, illegal contact. You saw it in the Seahawks game Sunday night. They had 3rd and 19 or 3rd and 20 or something like that. Guess what? The illegal contact, holding, pass interference, one of them. What a phenomenon, Adam Gase. No, let's not a halfback.
What did Johnson see in Adam Gase? I just don't. I really.
Peyton Manning told him. Peyton Manning was like, oh, Adam Gase is great.
No, but Mike McKagan also was a big advocate for Adam Gase.
He was. He was a buffoon, too. We know that already.
Like, so you fought.
So what?
Correct.
So what?
You're right.
So yes, Joe, say what you're going to say. Yes, they fired him. Yes, they fired him. Yes, he was wrong.
And then Christopher Johnson comes out a year later. I wish I made the move earlier. Are you freaking kidding me?
I'm really hoping that
told you that when you fired him in May.
I'm but really hoping that some kind of
Q-tip making idiot.
But like,
go back to making your baby body wash, you moron.
Well, he's still doing that, but at the same time, he's trying to run a football team.
Freaking talcum powder. You're contaminated talcum powder.
Maybe he's putting talcum powder in the Jets' jock straps. Maybe that's why they're not playing well. But like,
that would help reduce the irritation.
Instead of going down 24-3 and not even getting the friggin', if you don't even get it on fourth down, at least you tried, right? But no, Adam Gase is like, you know what? Let's get a field goal so it's not 24-3, it's 24-6. Can we, like, try and get, like...
Oh, boy.
Like, I know the Jets are down in that game, and we all know that they're not coming back. No, no shit. But, like, at least try and make it comparable. And another thing, we're going to go back to, you know, not throwing the ball over the sticks. Again, last week I preached that the short game, can the Jets get him in a rhythm? Can Gase actually, like, get him going? Okay, we did that. Great. Now start throwing the ball vertically down the field. Don't keep doing that. Throw the ball down the field against a secondary that may as well just be from Kalamazoo, Michigan. Like, what do, like, I don't understand. I don't have any more words. I really don't. This guy is a freaking idiot. And, what else is there to say? Like, I'm at a loss for words. I'm really at a loss for words. The fact that this owner was just, oh, let's hire Adam Gase. Not even 48 hours after he was fired by the friggin' Dolphins, let's get Adam Gase. He's great. Mike McCarthy, he sucks. Cliff Kingsbury, he sucks. Let's get Adam Gase.
Mike McCarthy hasn't looked too hot. I understand they won a lucky game yesterday because the Falcons don't know how to field a freaking onside kick.
Yeah.
But he hasn't looked too hot in his first two games as Cowboys head coach either. But, you know, Cliff Kingsbury.
Looks fantastic.
He's freaking, yeah.
But, like, if I have to see one more friggin' wide receiver screen, I'm going to throw a tantrum. And you know, Dan.
Get ready, because there's going to be about 5 this weekend.
Yeah, exactly. And to Josh Malone, of all people, I feel bad for these guys that are being brought up by the practice squad because they're number 5 receivers expecting to be 2s and 3s. Like, it just can't happen. And then the injuries to Perriman, Chris Hogan. The Jets only drafted 4 wide receivers for this game. Did they
but
expect,
we dressed 4 running backs.
Did they expect nobody to get hurt at all? We're the freaking New York Jets. And look at this freaking new turf. Everyone's getting hurt on this new turf. Everyone's complaining about this new turf.
That's one thing. I don't understand how that didn't happen in the first game with the Giants. And then
magic. I don't know. Fairy dust. I don't know. But, like, this coach. And then to say we couldn't go vertically down the field because Perriman was hurt. Really? Really? It's not even Perriman can't even get separation from nobody. But at least you try. This coach, and you know what? You know what's going to be the worst injury of all come next week? McGovern has a hamstring injury, so friggin' the backup center, who should have been Jonathan Harrison. Joe Douglas, let's start getting on you now, because your backup center, I don't even think played center full time. Jonathan Harrison had something with Sam Darnold. Nah, let's cut him. And now this depth of the wide receiver, this so-called depth of the wide receiver position is really showing now. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And then you know, we mentioned the post-game presser before. You know, talk about quitting and making excuses. You know, Gay says, we're moving the ball, but injuries just happened. Good head coaches adjust to that kind of thing. Not a lot of plays on 4th and 7. Literally, a college defense you were playing against. You can't scheme these guys open somehow? And here's another thing.
No, that's impossible.
We're going to talk about, you know, the whole, you know, Sam not being able to audible, because I think that deserves a lot of attention right now. No, like you said it before, Scott, no wonder this freaking kid is down on himself. And here's one thing right now. As long as Adam Gase is the head coach, after this game, I'm going to say this right now. As long as Adam Gase is the head coach of this team, I will no longer accept any more Sam Darnold slander. None. Zero. Because what came out the other day, the kid's got no freedom to do anything. This coach is a control freak.
I understand the whole control freak thing, and I understand that he should, but there's no reason he should be missing passes. Like, in week one.
Yes.
Yeah, in week one.
Sure. Week one. But when it comes to things like that,
correct.
Yes,
correct. Sam Darnold's slander will be okay then. If it's on his own, fine. But the fact that your third-year quarterback, second year in offense, is not even able to audible to a quarterback sneak?
The play calling. Last year we got on him a lot for, like, why is he not audibling out?
This is exactly why.
Correct, yeah. So anything that we said last year about this is kind of null and void, because it doesn't – it's like, how can you not give somebody, especially this young, have the ability to make his own reads and make his own decisions when in the pocket? It just doesn't – it doesn't make sense for me.
Like – This coach is just, I've been hearing this all over from Jet fans. This is, and we didn't watch the Rich Kotite era. We were too young for that. But, like, I can only imagine how much worse this actually is. Like, the fact that people are comparing this to the Rich Kotite era, like, this is our modern day Rich Kotite. And I don't know. This coach is handcuffing the quarterback.
Handcuffing the team.
You can't friggin' see what you have in this kid if you're not giving him any freedom to do what he wants to do. Do what he needs to do.
The thing is, where this team is headed, and I think it's pretty evident this team is heading to like 2-14, because
easily.
The only game in the first 9 that they can win is against the Broncos. And you know for a fact that Blake Bortles is gonna shred us for 300 yards somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the rest of the schedule, where are the wins coming from? Like, the Dolphins look like a more or a better team than we do.
Because they at least compete.
Yeah.
The Dolphins will compete their way to 2 wins against the Jets. 2 straight weeks, may I?
Yeah. It's just, like, Adam Gase has no idea how to get his football team prepared for games. Like, And Bradley McDougald came out and said it, I think, post-game or yesterday. He said, we don't practice, or we don't win in practice, or something like that. Like,
you need to know right there.
He's been here for 6 weeks and for 2 games, and he can already, like,
he's
see
coming,
how
he's
much
he's coming from a winning
show.
Culture. Mm-hmm. He's coming from a winning culture in Seattle, and he's looking at this and like, what?
And then going back to the 4th and 1 when, you know, Rich Cimini tweeted out, you know, he's the one that asked Gase the question. He said that Gase reiterates and said he was happy with the play call, just not the execution. Greg Van Roten missed the Mike linebacker. Like, okay, Greg Van Roten has been playing well anyway, but, like, still, Josh Adams on a 4th-and-1, a practice squad running back. The Niners knew it was coming.
Of course he likes the play call. He called it.
Well, you're right, Joe.
I mean, because he knows that there's not going to be another audible, so no. Obviously.
So this whole little tidbit of Sam not being able to, he says he has freedom on some plays. I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee, and this is how, like, imagine if you're the Jets offense going up against any defense any week, and Gase has a play call for Sam, and he already knows it's not going to work before the ball's even snapped. I don't know what to say. I really don't. Christopher Johnson, how do you feel now, you circus clown? You look like more of an idiot than you already were. Brilliant offensive mind. Wayne Gretzky should be friggin' appalled that Adam Gase was even mentioned in the same sentence as him. How dare you? And then, to end my point with the Jets, the longer Adam Gase is here, the closer the Jets are to the number one overall pick. And then maybe
they will botch that.
Well, true. But maybe that's Joe Douglas's plan. Because I don't care what he says, this season was a tank to begin with. Like, we would think that Joe Douglas knows that Adam Gase is not a good coach. We would hope that he thinks that. But yeah, I don't know anymore.
It's the worst year to do it. It really is.
Expand on that, then.
Because of everything that's going on with college football right now, you're not seeing everybody that's going to be in the draft.
Well, okay, let's be honest. If we're drafted number one overall, we're taking Trevor Lawrence. You can't not take him, I think, if you're organically getting the number one overall pick. You don't trade up for it. Mm-hmm. But if you're at number one, unless someone offers you, like, 5 first-round picks the next 5 years, you're gonna take Trevor Lawrence. Like, he's not Joe Douglas's guy. Adam Gase is gonna be freaking gone after this year. It's gonna be, and okay, let's be honest. How, you know, attractive does this job look if this head coach is just, you know, taking on Sam Darnold? You're just inheriting Sam Darnold. Like,
if fire Gase midseason, even now, and let Greg Williams take the reins.
Somebody take the reins, and I heard this a couple days ago.
Yeah, what, so we're going to let Dowell run the offense? Freaking
no, you know, who you let run the offense? Jim Bob Cooter. He was a former head coach with the Lions. Let him run the freaking offense.
Dowell's would be better than Gase anyway.
No, honestly. How do you know? Dowell is literally Gase's right-hand man.
The only thing Dowell does is freaking hold the challenge flag. That's all he does. And he's the
waddle across the field as quarterback.
And he's the quarterback.
Let Sam
coach.
Let Sam run the offense. Sam will be better at running the offense.
You would think.
No, you don't.
Bring in Sam's dad. I'm sure he is probably better than Adam Gase.
I don't know, boys. The Jets are in trouble. They're in trouble. Like
They can hire an offensive coordinator midseason, can't they?
No. No. Who would want to come here? Who wants to come here?
That's why, like, if you're hiring, say, like, Nick, I know you're all over Eric Bieniemy, and, you know, who knows how, you know.
Well, I have two other candidates in mind, actually.
Yeah, I know, but, like, you know, Eric Bieniemy has been passed up how many times for head coaching jobs.
You're right.
Maybe, like, they don't think he's fit to be a head coach because, again,
but
I think
Andy
Reid's coaching tree is actually
is
pretty successful.
But who is Chris Johnson to say that he's not fit to be a head coach? Chris Johnson don't know anything.
Well, I mean, if Joe Douglas says it, but it's not just the Jets, it's how many other interviews has he had?
I don't think that many, really.
He's interviewed for a head coaching job, I think, each of the last 2 or 3 seasons, and who knows if that's just because of the Rooney rule or whatever, they have to bring him in because he's a coach of color or a person of color, but
do you, like, really think that he's interested in being a head coach right now with all the success that he's having over in Kansas City?
I mean,
eventually,
but he, like, look at what Kansas City has for the future.
Again, money talks, Joe. Like, if
yeah,
if
but the more rings he has, the more rings he has, the higher he's going to get paid at that initial salary.
And I also think that's
how that works.
True, but I also think teams realize that he's not the one calling the plays.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little skeptical of him.
I'll tell you my other two, and I want to see what you guys think. I'm thinking Ravens offensive coordinator Greg Roman, and I really like this guy, Minnesota Golden Gophers head coach PJ Fleck.
I feel like Fleck is kind of a fraud.
Row the damn boat.
Salah from 49ers.
See, I wouldn't mind Salah either.
He's a defensive guy,
though. I don't care.
Honestly, at this point, let's get a freaking special teams coordinator in here.
Seems to be working for the Giants, even though they're 0-2, but they're competitive.
Hopefully Jim Harbaugh freaking sucks at Michigan and we can hire him as our head coach. That'd be fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hire another sucky guy for a head coaching job.
Joe, they went to the Super
Bowl.
He won a Super Bowl. He didn't win a Super Bowl. He went to a Super Bowl.
This is a different era of football.
That was only...
Do you not understand that? Adam Gase is playing in the 1940s as a head
Jim
coach.
Jim Harbaugh's playing in the 2010s. Anything's an improvement.
Yeah. At this point, I'll take a French fry as a freaking head coach. I don't really care.
It's just like this season's going to be a countdown to when Adam Gase is getting fired. And the more time that goes by that he's not fired is the more time that we're just – and I don't trust Christopher Johnson to do anything.
No.
That's the problem.
You can't.
Yeah, like – and
– When is Joe Woody Douglas, Johnson like, coming back?
I hope maybe never. Who cares? It's going to be the same thing. It doesn't matter.
We'll see you in November.
It don't matter.
Maybe he'll be like, oh wow, we suck. Well, let's sell.
We'll get our answer on November 3rd or November 4th or whenever that is. Maybe he'll just stay in the UK.
You're probably better off.
Stick with Big Ben.
Take Christopher Johnson with you. Jesus.
Yeah, bring your talcum powder over there.
A-Rod and J-Lo, please come save us, please.
That'd be sick. Gary V. Gary V, get in on that consortium or whatever they call it.
I would love
ownership group. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, this week the Jets got the Indianapolis Colts. Whoop-de-doo. Like, they're not winning this game. They're just not.
Definitely starting Jonathan Taylor in my fantasy.
Yeah. I would start everybody. If you have the opportunity, take your whole fantasy team and put everybody in the Colts. Just do it. Take a gamble. But, like, I don't know how much longer we can go in this direction. This is like I don't like that we have to come on here and kill this team. Like anybody that thinks that we love to scream and yell about this team is, you know, I don't know what you're thinking, but we want to come on here and say, holy crap, the Jets are good. They're 2-0. We want to feel good. But like that was never realistic in the first place. But we don't like yelling. I don't like having a headache while I'm yelling about this team.
Well, yeah, you have to listen to this.
Okay.
The Chiefs have missed 29 tackles this season. The only team with more are the Jets with 40. The Jets have missed 38% more tackles than the second worst team in the NFL.
Unbelievable.
That's 20 missed tackles per game. Unbelievable. Maybe, Adam Gase, if we had live contact in training camp, our players would be ready to tackle.
I'm just gonna say this right now, like, nothing the Jets do on Sunday and from here on out will surprise me. Like, the 3rd and 31 surprised me at the time, but when I really thought about it, I'm like, that doesn't really surprise me. The 80-yard touchdown run by Mostert, didn't really surprise me.
It's embarrassing.
Like, Joe, I can only imagine if you were working back at the DPW and you show up wearing a friggin' Jets colors. I wouldn't dare. I hate going into work and saying, you know, having people fucking laugh at me because I'm a Jets fan. Like, it's not fun. This is not fun. I hate this. I feel embarrassed to friggin' wear a Jets hat in my own house. It's true.
At least Mekhi Becton's beast.
Yeah, that's for one. Brian Baldinger has a hard-on for Mekhi Becton. I love it. I love it.
A lot of people do.
But, you know, sad again. Jets are 0-2. But so are the Giants. So let's start talking about them. Lose 17-13 to the Bears. First half of this
game...
First half of this game, not great by the Giants. Come out flat on both ends of the ball. But then the second half, they just... Joe Judge must have ripped them a new butthole because, wow. Giants looked like a completely different team. Start with the defense first. Couldn't have been worse. They have the opening drive touchdown, then a field goal after, you know, Daniel Jones' fumbling problem came to fruition yet again on their opening drive. Then they gave up the 15-yard touchdown and, you know... This kid Mooney from the Bears just kind of bodied the corner from the Giants basketball style, like a rebound. It was weird. But, you know, the Bears go up 17-0 in the half, and then this defense comes out in the second half after halftime, completely new team. Jordan Love picks off Mitchell Trubisky on their Bears' first possession, and then they get a field goal, 17-3. And let me tell you, James Bradberry has been fantastic. Good job by you, Dave Gettleman, because he just strips this ball away from maybe future Jet Allen Robinson. Do we want him anymore? I don't know. We'll take anything at this point, really. But, you know, he's looked really good through 2 weeks. And then guys like Blake Martinez, Kyler Fackrell, the two guys from Green Bay, and Lorenzo Carter have, you know, each get the Trubisky. They giant sack him 3 times. Completely new team. This team just fought till the end. Didn't allow any points in the second half, so that's encouraging going forward as they play the Niners this week. And then, you know, great adjustments. I got to give it to defensive coordinator Patrick Graham, able to make these adjustments on the fly and have this team competitive. And then, you know, going into next week against San Francisco, a banged-up offense. Jimmy G's probably not playing. Nick Mullins is going to be playing for them probably. Giants have a chance to win that game too next week. But then we talk about, so in theory, the Giants' defense has really surprised me through 2 weeks out of anything with this team, because we said this defense was just going to be awful all season long. And they've been great so far. Got to give it to them. And then the offense, again, there's a lot of holes here. You know, this team as a whole just went flat in the first half. Daniel Jones, of course, fumbles on the first possession, sacked by Robert Quinn, you know, and then they're down 10-0 just like that. Gets picked off by Bush. Like, he had no business throwing this football to him. Evan Engram was blanketed the whole entire time. They missed a field goal at the end of the half to go down 17-0. And then again, Joe Judge must have done something. Must have done a magic spell. I don't know. Can you know, relay the message to Adam Gase maybe? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, like, this team was a completely new offense in the second half. Got the field goal. They punched in with Deion Lewis after the unfortunate situation with Saquon on 4th and goal. Made it a one-possession ball game. And then they had a field goal, and the Bears missed a field goal. And then the Giants are set up on their own 32-yard line to go down the field and try and win the game. They go 13 plays, a little dink and dunk, not too bad offensive play calling by Jason Garrett. And then, you know, they couldn't finish. They just couldn't finish on the Bears' 10-yard line. The offensive PI by Golden Tate really ended the game. But, I mean, I don't think the game much in itself, you know, the Giants are 0-2. That's, you know, that's the problem with the team as a whole. But the story is Saquon Barkley, man. This is the biggest story of the game. Saquon goes down with, you know, ends up tearing his ACL for the year. And it's unfortunate because he was the one real... I mean, Saquon had to prove it this year. In our eyes, we're kind of critical of Saquon. He had to prove it this year. To prove that he had the pass block, to prove that he could make explosive big plays. But unfortunately, he's not going to be able to do that now. But I'm going to turn this a little bit this way. First of all, I want to know your guys' thoughts, obviously. But, you know, I think this puts just so much more pressure and attention on Daniel Jones.
Absolutely. Especially after going 25-40.
Mm-hmm. It's just like the Giants, you know, were already looking for playmakers. You look at Darius Slayton, too. He's out with turf toe. And like, it looks like they're bringing in Devontae Freeman. But, again, like, you can ask a lot of questions about Saquon Barkley. Yeah, he had a good rookie year. People were ready to enthrone him in the gold jacket and immediately start, you know, making the bust for the Hall of Fame for Canton. And now, you know, misses a couple games last year through injury. Didn't look great in the games he did play. It was a big thing. Talked about his rookie year that he didn't fumble at all, and then he started fumbling last year and, you know, didn't seem like he was the same player. Now this year, struggled in game one. I think he had -4 rushing yards or something like that in the first game. Just didn't look good at all. I mean, he had that one big pass play, and that was pretty much it. But now Sunday, again, you know, looked like he got hurt originally on a play on the sideline, and you were thinking the worst there, but he hopped right back up. And, you know, I guess they must have thought he was okay to continue, and then, you know, he goes back down with the ACL. But unfortunately, that's just one of many in a trend of the NFL right now, is people going down left and right of ACLs and, you know, other season-ending injuries. But for the Giants' sake, you're already kind of hurting Daniel Jones and the weapons you have, too, because Evan Engram hasn't stepped up either.
Yeah, he's been stone hands. I think yesterday was, like, the first time in Daniel Jones' young career that he actually had everybody healthy at one point or another. But then, of course, Saquon goes down. You got to put in Deion Lewis. So, I mean, But it's not like the Giants or the Jets, and they literally have nobody. They have shells of, you know, of wide receivers. They actually have some pieces. They got Slayton, who, you know, didn't have, you know, he had a decent game, but, and Evan Ingram's been disappointing, like you said. But where do you think now this shifts, you know, for Daniel Jones? I think there's a lot more pressure on him. I think Giants fans, even after 2 years, are starting to really get on him, and he's obviously hasn't fixed through 2 weeks, hasn't fixed the fumbling problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, people want to talk about no weapons for Sam Darnold, and yeah, the Giants, you know, came in with better weapons than the Jets did. Not great weapons. I think we were talking about it before the season started, how there really wasn't much talk about a lack of weapons around Daniel Jones, and a lot of injury-prone guys like Sterling Shepard always misses a couple games, and Evan Ingram isn't, you know, the same player that they thought they drafted, and Darius Slayton, you know, could have been a little bit of a question because it was only a rookie year. Does he repeat that, or does he have a sophomore slump? But now, like, yeah, you have an aging Golden Tate. That's kind of it. I mean, Sterling Shepard's still around, and
they're really just counting on Darius Slayton to be like the big game breaker.
Well, was it Shepard or Slayton that got hurt?
Shepard.
Oh, okay. I think I said Slayton before, but I knew it was. I always get them confused for some reason, but you see, it's like the same thing as Sam. You see so many, like, you know, good plays, like the Berrios throw and the Herndon throw were very good plays by Sam. You see that with Daniel Jones, that very nice sort of Slayton on Monday Night Football for that opening touchdown. But then again, you see, you know, he was trying to throw it away on Monday Night Football when he threw that interception on the goal line. His arm got tipped. Maybe he should have thrown away faster. Like you said, fumbles on the first drive on Sunday. Like, ball security issues are a big thing with him, and that's something that, you know, you just can't do. Like, even on Monday night when they recovered the botched kick or the botched punt, and you get the ball in the 3-yard line and you can't punch it in. Like, he made some really bad throws there, and that interception he threw on Sunday was horrific.
Not good.
Like, Evan Ingram was already on the ground when he threw the ball.
Yeah, Bush was. I mean, Bush was blanketing him basically, and.
Yeah, he was double teamed, and his tush was already on the ground, and he still decided to throw him the ball. Like, that was a very bad, very bad throw. Hey, but honestly, we could have this discussion now. Which interception was worse, Sam's week one or that one?
Oh, Sam's week one by far, I think.
Yeah.
Sam's week one because the fundamentals were just all off. Like, literally everything, everything in the don't do quarterback book, Sam did. Like, Daniel Jones just made a bad read. Like, he just made a bad decision.
And, like, what's the guy's name? Connor. The guy from Bleacher Report, not Connor Hughes, the
Connor
other guy.
Rogers.
Yeah. Tweeted out the other earlier before he was watching tape of Sam. And he was talking about how there was one play in the first half where Becton had a perfect block. The pocket was, like, you know, a perfect pocket for Sam to just, like, kind of sit in and, you know, go through his progressions and make a good pass. And again, he just has happy feet. And, like, these first 2 years of bad offensive lines have just ruined him because you can just tell he has no comfortability in the pocket.
But what about with Daniel Jones? Yeah, what about with him, too? He's had 2 years of bad offensive lines, and his mechanics and footwork seem to be better than Sam's.
Yeah, and
that has to do with coaching. That all has to do with coaching.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So and, that being said, Pat Shurmur is a better coach than Adam Gase. Like, wow.
Yeah, and, well, Jason Garrett is also 10 times the coach that Adam Gase is now,
absolutely,
too.
But what were you going to say before? Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say Daniel Jones, you know, you look at him and his mechanics are so much better than Sam's. I mean, I said on Monday, watching him on Monday night, was he has a very long, like, throwing motion. Mm-hmm. His throwing motion is very long, so that's going to be something that he's going to have to work on in off seasons of really, like, quickening that up, because that can be a huge thing. Getting, like, 0.1, 0.2 seconds is a huge amount of time, you know, with these open windows in the NFL. So I think that's something that he's going to have to work on. But you look at his footwork, and it's already 10 times better than Sam's is.
Again, all has
but
to
again,
do,
like,
all has to do with coaching.
Yeah, it's just like, I hate keeping going back to Sam, but, like, you
it's,
look at
it's
this.
It's hard to not compare
yeah,
the two
coaching and stuff like that, but, like, Sam's still, like, year three should not have happy feet and thrown off his back foot half his throws. Like,
I guess again, I think it has a lot to do with just being flushed. All like, but for 3 years he hasn't had a good offensive line. This is the best offensive line he's had in his 3 years in the league. When you're getting hit consistently and having to be flushed out of the pocket, that's just something he's just used to. He's used to getting smashed into the ground, and I feel bad for him. But at the same time, you got to pick yourself up, and you know, you got to remember all your mechanics and all the things you did in the offseason. Like, the fact that he was working with Jordan Palmer, like what are you doing in the offseason? Yeah, like, what are you doing in the offseason? Like, what does that show about your offseason?
What does Jordan Palmer give to the table?
I don't know. Like, you might as well hire him as the offensive coordinator, the quarterback coach, probably better than Adam Gase. I'll tell you that. But the difference between the two quarterbacks doesn't seem like a lot right now because both teams are 0-2. Both the teams are not good. But like, when you look at a side-by-side comparison, Daniel Jones is I wouldn't say miles ahead of Sam Darnold, but he has a considerable lead. Like, his fundamentals, you never have to worry about Daniel Jones's footwork or anything like that. You have to worry about his decision-making and his ability to hold on to the football and take care of it. But at the same time, you know, I think through 2 weeks, Sam has taken care of the football better. I guess you could say that. Better than Daniel Jones. Not a lot of fumbles. I mean, the bonehead interception, yeah, week one. But other than that, didn't turn the football over last week against the Niners. So I guess
it's hard to turn the football over and you only throw 3 yards down the field.
Exactly. Exactly. But, and again, this all comes back to coaching. But the Giants have the 49ers this week. If you're the Giants, if any time to get your first win is right now, is this week. 49ers are all banged up. All these guys are out for the season. Garoppolo is in their head. Yeah, the turf is in their head. They got to take advantage of this, of the injuries on the San Francisco 49ers. This is going to be a competitive game because say what we want about the Giants, they're going to come to play. And it's refreshing to see a competitive football team. Like, if that were the Jets going up against the Bears, 17-0, nah. We'll kick for field goals. But Joe Judge has these guys playing. And it's refreshing to see, other than from Ben McAdoo and Pat Shurmur, this is refreshing to see for the Giants, especially a young team. Like, I'm not going to put it past them. They can win outright against the 49ers this week.
Yeah, because they'll actually be prepared and actually practice to win.
Exactly. People say it's an offensive league. I say it's a coach's league, from what we've seen. Because if you have a bad coach, forget it. Forget it. But hopefully the Giants can come away with a win. I'd love to see it. I'd love to talk about a football victory on this show. For once, please, give me something. I also love that the Giants are playing at 1 and the Jets are playing at 4. That's for another thing. That's really
it. You can actually watch both games.
Yeah, that'd be nice. That's really it for football. Both teams at 0-2.
Oh, hold on.
Go ahead. Sorry.
3-0 week. 3-0. Put it in the books. It was easy. It was easy. Never had to sweat.
Soft money lines, I mean.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, Joe, how was that ego one you took?
That ego one?
Yeah,
the Washington football team. The one that I said was probably going to be my toughest one.
Yeah, I was dumb. It was dumb.
Hey.
Cardinals minus 7 was literally, I didn't even have to sweat. They were up 14-0 and I knew it was over.
Yeah, dude. I actually looked at the score and I looked at it on fantasy and I thought it said that Washington was leading 20-0 at one point. And I looked at it, I was like, oh.
We'll get into that when we do Tri-State Sportsbook to end the show. For right now, we'll take a break. Scott and I will talk baseball, and then we'll finish out like we always do. You're listening to Tri-State Sports Beat. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Tri-State Sports Beat. It's the portion of the show where just Scott and I talk some baseball a little bit as the season is coming to an end, sadly, but surely after 60 games. Of course, let's start with our beloved New York Yankees, pal. What a turnaround. 31-23, second in the American League East, and they have officially clinched a spot in the postseason after sweeping 3 games against the Blue Jays and taking 2 of 3 from the Red Sox amidst this wonderful 10-game win streak. But now, unfortunately, they've lost 2 in a row. So, not great, but the Yankees are in the playoffs for sure. Seeding will, you know, decide these next 6 games. But headlined by the offense, pal. oh my goodness. This is as good as we've seen in a long time. Like, 43 runs in three games against the Blue Jays. Are you kidding me, Yankees? Couldn't it be better? Couldn't it be better?
Go ahead. And it's like, everyone's finally healthy, which is unbelievable. And Luke Voit is, you know, cementing his name directly into a MVP race.
He's got seven home runs in the last 10 games. It's fantastic.
Yeah, he was on a little bit of a slump at the beginning of September. I remember us talking about that, saying, like, that's not good. He's been the only source of offense from this team, but it's unbelievable. Like, the Yankees have gotten their batting average up to 13th. I think the last time we recorded a baseball segment, they were 18th, 19th. They're up to fourth in runs. They were in double digits in that before this huge run. They're down to 12th in ERA and 9th in WHIP. So, you know, Gerrit Cole has been shut down his past couple, his last three starts with Higgy behind the plate. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Higgy helps himself out with three home runs and in the game against
game two against the Blue Jays.
Yeah, like Clint Frazier, that just shows how deep this lineup is. He's batting ninth in this lineup. Like, thank goodness he is an everyday player. Because if they would have, you know, taken him out, it would have been literally mayhem.
Mm-hmm. We would not have been happy screaming. Yeah,
no, Giancarlo's come back and hit pretty well. He had a four hit night the one night. Aaron Judge hasn't hurt his calf again, so that's a major plus.
Positives.
Yeah. you know, it's just like there's a lot of good batting averages in the lineup right now. DJ is at 365. Frazier's at 296. Giancarlo at 290. Gio Urshela at 289, which, you know, he's been pretty consistent around there for the last couple weeks or so. Luke Voit at 280. Judge at 256. And Kyle Higashioka at 250. It's much better than Gary Sanchez at a 147. I mean, but at least, hey, he raised that.
Yeah, it was like at what? We were at 109 at one point right now, so we'll take anything.
Yeah, but you can't rip him. I mean, he had a huge clutch hit against the Red Sox. Two outs, no one on. Huge solo home run in the ninth inning to extend that game, which eventually turned into a win for the Yankees. So.
For sure. And, you know, the 43 runs in three games against the Blue Jays, just astonishing. It's amazing. You know, the three home run game by Kyle Higashioka was just out of freaking nowhere. And then we forgot, you didn't mention the six home run inning in, you know, scoring seven runs in game three against the Blue Jays. Like, are we kidding? Voit, LeMahieu, Hicks, Stanton. I think Gardner hit one. I think
Glaber had one.
It was ridiculous.
It was unbelievable.
And you know, you talked about all these guys before, but DJ LeMahieu hitting 365. He has at least one hit in nine of the last 10 games. It's phenomenal. Voit, we mentioned, seven home runs in the last 10 games, 19 RBIs in that span. He's leading Major League Baseball 21 home runs. He's leading the Yankees with 49 home RBIs this year. And your boy, Clint Frazier, man. At one point, he was hitting 302. It's gone down to 296. Nine RBIs. And his defense. Let's finally talk about his defense. Been money. He has made minimal mistakes in the field. Even transitioning from right field, now Judge is playing right, to left field now, he hasn't missed a step. It's been fantastic.
Been fantastic.
And then we talk about Higashioka, the three home run game. Of course, he's hitting 250, but now he's cementing himself really in this lineup because now he wants to be Gerrit Cole, and Gerrit Cole wants this as well. Gerrit Cole wants Higashioka to be his personal catcher, which I can't go wrong there, considering how Gary Sanchez has been playing. I can't argue that. I cannot argue that idea. I'd rather be playing Higashioka than Gary at this point in the postseason when it comes down to it. I mean, we're only six games away at this point. Might as well. But then we go to the guys like Stanton and Judge, slowly being worked back into the lineup. Stanton's had two home runs since he's come back off the IL. Encouraging. I can't kill him. Like, I'm not going to kill Stanton for the rest of the year. When the playoffs come, that's a different story if you don't show up. But then Judge, couple of hits here and there. He's still kind of looking to, you know, get in a groove a little bit. He's still looking for his first RBI since coming off the IL. As long as Judge is in the lineup, you know, he will get hits. Like, he's going to start driving in runs. He's going to start getting in some kind of a rhythm. He's been out for a while. You know, he's going to be all right. I'm not really too worried about Judge when playoff time comes. But all in all, the Yankees' bats are just coming alive at the right time. Voit, DJ, we mentioned. they're still carrying a load, but now it really helps that Judge and Stanton, they'll eventually come back around, but they're going to be a big, big help in this lineup. And then they're going to make Aaron Boone look like the manager of the year again. Like,
well, Brian Cashman said today that he hopes Aaron Boone is here for for a long, long time, as long as Joe Torre was. No. So,
yikes.
But, I mean, there was always, you know, that kind of, you know, fear around the Yankees that their lineup wouldn't have been completely this entire for the playoffs. You know, Judge, you never knew about this calf injury, how long it was gonna, you know, be an ailment for
Giancarlo. You know, you never
know how long he's gonna be for, and if he's hitting the ball in the playoffs, like, you know, we haven't really seen from him before, like, you know, efficiently hitting, it's gonna be a scary lineup. I mean, right now we're slated against the Twins, and the Twins are very
home, so I don't, it's gonna be very
important for the Yankees to get that 4 seed and the Twins be the 5, because the Yankees are much better at Yankee Stadium and the Twins have a sub 500 record on the road, but they're, I think about like 21-7. I looked the other day that they were at home at the point, I think it was about this weekend I looked, but you know, they're very good at Target Field and not so good on the road. And the Yankees are the same, very good at Yankee Stadium and not the best on the road. So at least we don't have to play in Buffalo, because that's just a terrible place for the Yankees to play.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and now we haven't really gotten great pitching performances the last two games. Dave
kind of had a little
bump in the road on Sunday against the Red Sox. And Mike,
you know, won't be in the rotation
for the playoffs, but, you know, he got kind of shelled last night against the Blue Jays. So,
yeah, all in all, it hasn't been horrible. Like, Cole's been Cole. You know, pitch game two against the Blue Jays, 7 innings, gave up a run. We don't expect anything less than that from Gerrit Cole. Tanaka in game 3 against the Blue Jays, 7 innings, 3 runs. Solid, even though Jonathan Holder almost blew the game for us. And then Jordan Montgomery, again, a guy that I've been vouching for this whole season and just want him to do well. You know, 4 2/3, 5 hits, 4 runs in game 1 against the Red Sox, a depleted team that they know they're not going anywhere. A shaky, you know, shaky again after putting up, you know, good numbers, quality numbers, you know, his last 2 or 3 starts. But Yankees won that game in extra innings. You know, they get a very good outing from Jonathan Loaisiga, who I've been critical of, but he's been deserving of a bullpen spot, really. And then friggin' Jay Happ, man. Who would have thought Jay Happ this year was going to pitch 8 innings and give up 0 runs against the Red Sox? Again, it's the Red Sox, but still, you get that out of Jay Happ, I'll take that 9 times out of 10. And he suddenly found another gear, and I'm like, and it only says, like, Jay Happ has been pretty good. I think his last 3 starts have been relatively good. This only benefits the Yankees going forward. Like you mentioned, Davey Garcia, you know, crap the bed in the series finale against the Red Sox. It's going to happen. Young pitcher, he's 21 years old. He's coming off 2 very, very good starts, if not 3, I don't think. But that's going to happen to him. If it happens in the playoffs, then Boone's going to have to make some kind of adjustment. But all in all, I'm proud of how this team has just bounced back from this losing streak. Like, I can't get over that. The fact that the Yankees lost, like, they've only won 5 of their first, like, or their last, like, 15 at one point or something like that. We were in a dark place then. That was not a good place to be. But now they string off 10 in a row. They've lost back-to-back games to the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. Hopefully they win tonight with Cole on the mound. But they're beating up the teams they need to stay afloat, like the Orioles, who were in it for a little bit, like the Blue Jays, who are right behind them in the American League East. They clinch a playoff spot, but at the same time, they can't afford to relax. Like, they got to play for the seeding now. If they want to play at Yankee Stadium, they got to play well these next 6 games. You know, as of now, like you said, they're playing round 1 series against the Twins. They got to win 2 out of 3, I believe, right? Am I correct in saying that? I think it's a 3-game series.
I haven't seen much of the playoff scenarios as of late. Someone was tweeting them on Twitter, like, every day. Mm-hmm. And I haven't seen any of them recently. But, yeah, it's just like I said before. We have to get to that 4 seed. I mean, no matter where we're seeding, it's going to be a series against the number 1 seed from the American League, which is, I think, between the A's and the Rays right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe the White Sox are also in that race too, but, you know, you're going to have to play someone decent, and you're going to have to be on the road.
So you're going to have to win at least one on the road.
And then hope that you sweep in Yankee Stadium, so.
Yep. And then, you know, King was blasted last night against the Jays. I'm not too concerned about that, but, you know, the final six games for the Yankees. Now they got three more against the Blue Jays, the final three against them, and then they finish the season with three against the Marlins. So we expect the Yankees to finish on a real high note and head to the playoffs, and we'll see what happens there. We'll be fully covering that, so I'm excited for that. Quickly, the New York Mets, like we said last week, just not making any strides, stuck in neutral. They're basically out of it. 24-30, you know, six in their last 10. They've 4-6 in their last 10 games. They took 2 of 3 from the Phillies, and you're thinking, oh, great, like the Mets are starting to make moves here. And then they dropped 2 of 3 to the Braves, and they lost last night with Jacob DeGrom on the mound against the Tampa Bay Rays. The season's basically done. Like, we're looking at
this. I
think
that means they're done now.
Yeah.
I saw something that they had to win every single game, and the Reds and whoever
maybe
had to lose, like, 5 out of 7 or something like that. I'm pretty sure they're done now after they,
I mean, they were done anyway. This team was not making a big run with the way that they've been playing. I mean, in these last 4 losses for the Mets, 31 runners left on base. Like, at one point, they were putting up runs. They were putting balls in the seats. They were putting balls in play. They were getting runs across the board. They were scoring 10 runs, 15 runs, 20 runs at one point. 31 runners left in scoring position after the last 4 losses. They've just gone downhill. McNeil, Conforto, they're getting on base, but they're not driving in any runs. Dom Smith has really been the only guy in the last 10 games that have drove in runs consistently. And now you got to think going forward for the Mets, new ownership. Is Dom Smith your everyday first baseman?
Yeah.
Like,
he's got to play somewhere every day.
He's got to.
I mean, I don't think you can ditch on Pete, but, you know, it should be interesting to see if the DH stays in the National League next year. It's going to be a big offseason for, like, owners voting based on if they want to keep the playoffs, which I saw, you know, owners are leaning towards keeping the playoff format the same, which I actually don't mind. I think it actually adds, you know, some more intrigue to the regular season because this seeding has been, like, at this point, most
teams aren't playing
for much. In there's maybe
one race for a wild card
spot, but, like, all these seeds are, like, changing – like, so often, I think it makes it a lot, like, pretty interesting. I think there's 3 teams in the race for the last seed in the NL, in the National League. It makes the regular season, I think, a little bit more important in making the playoffs. Maybe we'll see after the 3-game series.
How we feel about it if the Yankees, you know, get knocked out in 2 games.
Because a 3-game series is
really nothing. Like, in baseball, anything can happen.
Like,
the Yankees could have been the one seed and
got fluked out of the playoffs.
Yeah, guys like Nimmo, Conforto, I mean, they've been coming up in some kind of spots, but again, nothing to really make a huge difference. And then guys like J.D. Davis and Pete Alonso have just completely disappeared. Like, J.D.'s been hitless in his last 5 games, hitting .254, and then Pete Alonso, who we've kind of been concerned about the whole entire season up until, like, the point he was... you know, he was starting to hit the ball pretty well, and he was starting to put the ball in the seats, but now he's 5 for his last 37 at-bats in the last 10 games, and he's hitting .200.
Yeah, and, like, the Mets still somehow have the best batting average in the whole league at a .273, mm-hmm. and they're 11th in runs with .262, with 20th in ERA with a .484, and 22nd in whip with a .141. So, you know, the back end of their rotation are actually – you know, David Peterson hasn't been too bad. Leads the team in wins, actually, above Jake DeGrom. But
that bullpen.
Other than, you know, Edwin Diaz has been a bright spot for this team. Todd Frazier throwing out the knuckleball.
getting involved, but
you know, Edwin Diaz 1.57 ERA. If
you know, before the season, you asked
Mets fans, "Will you take a 1.57 ERA from Edwin Diaz before the year?" They probably would have bit your hand off for that. So
for sure.
He's been good, but you know, Steven Matz at 9.79 ERA, he's horrible. Michael Wacha 6.75 ERA.
You can't bring those guys
with
back
a 6.10.
Under new ownership,
he was on
can't
the
bring those guys back.
He was on the IL for majority of the season too. It's you know, Familia 4.13. Even like Seth Lugo a 4.34. You have to figure out what you're going to do with Seth Lugo next year, and I understand. Like, maybe you're going to make a run after Trevor Bauer if you're Stevie Cohen and You know, you're going to sign everyone and anyone under the sun, but, you know, you got to figure out the bullpen starting pitching behind DeGrom. I mean, you have to figure out what you're going to do with Noah Syndergaard coming back.
I think he's on the last year of his deal when
he comes back from his recovery from Tommy John next year. But, you know,
everyone knew that they had the lineup to compete.
It was the lineup that, you know, could keep them in games. It was always the question of the pitching. Brody, you know, deepest rotation in baseball, bro.
Come and get us, right?
Yeah, come and get us.
I mean, there's nothing else really to say there for the New York Mets. It's season's over. We're looking forward to Stevie Cohen. So that's really that. We'll take a break. When we come back, we will do Fun with Phonics with Joe and our Tri-State Sportsbook picks. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Tri-State Sports Beat. I apologize in advance if the show sounds a little bit choppy. We're having a little technical difficulties here with the soundboard, but we're all good to go, I think, for the last few segments of the show. So we will end with the fun part because the guys are laughing already because of the names I just sent Joe. So that means it is time for Fun with Phonics with Ranger Joe.
Fun with Phonics with
Ranger Joe.
It's got a hard name.
Okay, bud. You ready to go? You ready to go 4 for 4?
Absolutely.
Absolutely? All right. I like the confidence, pal. I love the confidence. All right, first one. First one. This man is an American professional baseball infielder for the Milwaukee Brewers of Major League Baseball. He professionally played for the San Diego Padres, St. Louis Cardinals, and the Los Angeles Dodgers. He attended University High School in Morgantown, West Virginia, and his name is
Jed Gorko.
Oh,
not too bad. Not too bad.
Joe, you've been close with a lot of these. You just can't fit. Go ahead, try it again. Try it one more time.
Jed Gorko.
No. Scott, you want to tell him what it is?
It is Jed Jerko.
Tough. Next one. This one should be good. This man is nicknamed Shark. He is an American professional baseball pitcher for the San Francisco Giants of Major League Baseball. He played college baseball and college football for the University of Notre Dame. And he was recognized as a 2-time All-American wide receiver. His name is...
Jeff?
Uh-huh.
Good start.
Samarja.
Oh, wow! Oh! He got one! He got
ding,
one!
Ding, ding. You have to get a ding button.
He got one! He got one!
How did you pull that one out of your ass?
Oh, that was easy.
Jeff Samarja is correct.
He definitely knew that one coming in.
Did you know that
I
one?
Did not. You I did not. No.
Wow. I thought that one was going to get you. All right.
I was ready for Jeff Samar Dizija. Samar Dizija.
Wow. Joe is finally on the board with one name correct. Look at that. All right, the next one.
I will not be gambling on myself.
This man is a Cuban professional baseball shortstop for the Atlanta Braves in Major League Baseball. He previously played for the Toronto Blue Jays, Miami Marlins, Tampa Bay Rays, Pittsburgh Pirates, New York Yankees, and New York Mets. His name is...
Adenya Henzavaria.
Oh, you got the last. You got the last name right.
No, the last name was what I thought was wrong.
His name is
Adenya.
Adenya Henzavaria. Wow, Joe. All right, I'll give you that. You got the last name right. I'll give you that one. That's a good one. All right, this last one. I kind of have confidence in you in this one. I kind of have some confidence that you're gonna get this one right.
You didn't spell it right.
Yeah, I did.
No, you didn't.
I didn't.
If you can't spell it right, I ain't pronouncing it right.
I got it right. Hold on. I got it right off of Google. Oh, okay. Sorry.
I'm spelling it right now.
All
right,
go ahead. Sorry, folks. We had a little. I got discombobulated with the whole technical
thing. I didn't do the accent mark, but the accent mark still stands.
Okay.
Gotcha.
All right. This man is a Swedish professional footballer who plays as a striker for Serie A club AC Milan. His name is
Zoltan Ibrahimovic.
Oh.
That I messed up on the end. I know that.
Ibrahimovic. That's interesting.
Ibrahimovic. Just tell me. I don't know.
Yeah, it's Scott.
His name is Zlatan.
Zlatan. Okay.
Ibrahimovic.
Ibrahimovic. There's no O there, but I'll take it.
Ibrahimovic.
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 Well, Joe, you got one. I got to give you that one.
He's now one for 10.
Very good. Should be proud of yourself. 12.
Though. 12. 12. So four each.
You should be proud of yourself. Very good. That's true. Very good. Very good. All right. To end the show, like we always do, because now Joe's hot. Joe's hot now. He got a name right and did pretty well in the NFL football picks again this
Still
week.
Still lost the picks this week.
Did lose the picks this week. So now we will end the show like we always do. It is time for Tri-State Sportsbook.
Kids with the catch.
Show me the money.
Winners, 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 winners.
Joe, lead
That's
it
a
off.
New one.
Now we are not doing just NFL, correct?
No. Anything else?
Whatever you want.
We'll save that. We'll save that. I like saving it for our special episode.
Very good.
You want me to start out here?
Yes, please.
Okay. Well, the Boston Celtics and Miami Heat had their game delayed, as we all know. Mm-hmm. I will be betting on that for the first one. I'll take that money line for Miami all day. Mm-hmm. They will take a 3-1 lead. Moving on, and I believe they will also, I'm making a bold early prediction here, they will be moving on to the NBA Finals.
Okay.
Second money line I will be taking is out of the UFC.
What?
UFC.
Dabbling in the fighting, huh? I like
Paulo Henrique Costa and Israel.
Oh, dear.
I did this to myself.
It's got a hard name!
Adesanya. It's like lasagna. It's like lasagna with AD in the beginning.
Yeah, Adesanya. That was good.
I will take the money line on Adesanya.
What is that? He's favorite, isn't he?
He is favorite, yeah.
What is it?
It's actually earlier 175. I was actually watching a highlight reel again with him just yesterday, I think. So that's what kind of got me into that.
See, there's – if you want to talk about that for a second, what is Paulo Costa? What's his odds?
I'm going to have to go back into it. Let me do my last one, or do you want to look it up?
I can look too. One. Yeah, I'll look.
Okay. And my last one, I will be moving over to the MLB.
Wow.
Yes, MLB.
Dabbling
this
in
is
baseball,
Joe
huh?
Bruno
that's
talking
a,
here.
That's a good step for you.
Yankees at Toronto Blue Jays. Now, Toronto did win last time.
They did.
I did some research.
Wow.
The last, I want to say it was five games, have all been over 10 points. 10 runs, I should say. I'm sorry.
I wasn't going to correct you.
I will be taking the over 9.5 in the total runs. I think that's a pretty safe bet. There I think the Yankees need to redeem themselves.
Sure. Okay.
So how back much, to the how, Paulo Costa how much, thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Paulo Costa is plus 141. I want Israel Adesanya to win, but I think Paulo Costa, there's some value in that money line.
There's good value in it.
Because Paulo Costa, he's like the Hulk. Like, he's a freaking beast. And Adesanya is more of like, he calls himself the last style bender. So he's very martial art like.
Oh, he's very martial art.
Yeah, that's why he's in the mixed version.
How much money can you win if you put that down, Joe?
Yeah, $10 will win you $70.25. Cash it in. Make that bet. You're going to win. What can I say?
Very good. All right, I'll go. I'm going to dip into some English Premier League here. Big matchup coming up for my Arsenal here against Liverpool.
Yeah, you beat West Ham this week.
Against Liverpool. I'm taking the Arsenal money line in full time. Against
what?
Liverpool. Yes, I am. I know it's outrageous. If you're
what is that like plus 300
plus 525? Taking it. I'm taking it. Aubameyang's gonna put one in the back of the net. Arsenal's gonna win 1-0. I don't know. Just because.
Arsenal got lucky to beat West Ham this week.
Well, they did. So you over there in the left hand corner can.
I'm in the right hand corner.
Well,
for
you're
myself,
in my left hand
so
corner,
to
right?
Same.
Anyway, Joe, unlike you, I'm going to take the Boston Celtics money line in game four of the Eastern Conference Finals because I don't see Boston falling down 3-1. I just don't. I know Miami's good, and I probably underestimate them, but it's going to be a series, so I'm going to take Boston to tie it up 2-2. That's at minus 152, just in case you're running, keeping score at home. And then this last one. I will be dabbling in college football this weekend, personally. And Syracuse duped me 2 weeks ago. I didn't bet on them last week, and they played very well. So I'm going to ride the orange train and go with Syracuse plus 8.5 as they take on Georgia Tech. Georgia Tech didn't play too well last week. Syracuse coming off a – they did lose. I think they did lose, right? And
yes.
But they're coming off a good game. Got some energy going.
They covered.
I'll take the orange plus 8.5. So Arsenal full-time money line against Liverpool – Boston Celtics money line in game four, and Syracuse plus the 8.5 as they take on Georgia Tech. $10 will win you $198.16.
Okay, taking a now gamble. For some winners. Scott's selections are. I'm also going to dabble in some baseball this evening. I am going to take the Yankees minus 1.5. Gerrit Cole on the mound. Against the Blue Jays. I'm going to take the Reds minus 1.5, which is actually at a plus 135. Sonny Gray on the mound. Reds are on a roll fighting for that last playoff spot. I think the Reds get it done. Sonny Gray, I think he's coming off the IL, maybe first or second start off the IL. Going to have a big start. Reds minus 1.5. Then I'm going to dabble in some Thursday night football.
Good.
I am on Minshew Mania. The Jacksonville Jaguars minus 3 against the Miami Dolphins.
We can only hope.
Minshew Mania. The mustache is here to play.
That's all you got to say.
So, Yankees minus 1.5, Reds minus 1.5, Jaguars minus 3. A $10 bet will cash you out $70.47.
I like that.
I seem like I am the one that went a little outlandish today. Maybe it's the effect of my football picks that I'm 3-3 and I need to do something.
This week I've looked a little bit. Some tough spreads out there.
Great. Can't wait. I'm gonna pick some favorites this week. I need to catch up to you guys because you guys are 5-1 and I am lagging behind. Cannot do that.
As per usual.
You're right, Joe. You're not wrong.
Did you come in last year too?
Probably.
Did I come in last?
Probably. I don't think we did all 17 weeks, so I don't think we
I could tell you.
All we know is Joe came in first.
No.
I can tell you.
Joe did the best.
The rodeo clown.
Yeehaw.
All right, we capped it out. Nick and I capped it out at week 16, but we missed 13, 14, and 15.
I'm going to blow smoke up my ass.
That's a new one.
Scott did. Scott came in last.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, but I also missed like 3 weeks. Then I had to make like 2 weeks of like 6 picks or 4 picks or something like that.
Oh, yeah, all downhill. Yeah, yeah.
Stupid ass.
This year it is official.
It is official. We will do all.
Joe is going to hit a cold spot here.
I hope so. I'm hitting my cold spot right now.
I think we're in Joe's head that he can't take the minus 200 money lines this year.
I'm not. Like, if I'm going to take it, I'm going to take it. If I'm going to win money, I'm going to win money.
No, because that's not fair.
If I have a plus 500, I'm going to take minus 200 to equal it out.
That's not fair. That's not how this works.
I'm going to blow smoke up my ass.
Yeah, thank you. That's not how this – we have to like ground rules.
What kind of ground – what do you mean? I mean,
no money line above like minus 150. That's 150. Even stretching it.
150. That's even that's like, stretching it. That's simple though. Like if you take a, you could take a favorite. You're telling me
you could take them in the spread. You could take them in the spread.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you dabbled in some over unders this year, Joe?
Yeah.
He took two last week.
Yeah, he did.
I've spread it out even. I took one money line week one. I took one money line.
I don't pay attention to your picks until you tell me that you went 5-1. So
we'll see. Okay, minus 150 might be a little. I don't
That's
know.
That's what I'm saying.
We have to find a good
just the winner.
A good Mendoza.
We have to find a good like a good happy medium in the favorite money line odds here. So Joe Sniff here can't.
Oh my God.
can't abuse his dumb money lines.
You just made me sound cooler.
Shots fired. Shots fired here on the Tri-State Sports Beat.
All right.
People listening probably don't know what that entails, but we'll keep it that way.
No.
Let's just say Joe is a lot like Sam Ficken in his looks.
Stupid ass.
Andre Roberts-esque.
Schnoz department.
All right, that'll do it for us here at the Tri-State Sports Beat. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure to follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at TSSB Pod for daily updates on all 9 New York sports teams. And you can listen to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com, and all your favorite podcast platforms. Thank you guys so much for listening, and we will see you next time on the Tri-State Sports Beat.
Namaste, and keep listening to the Tri-State Sports Beat.
Goodbye!
Magazine, salt and pepper and heavy D up in the limousine. Hanging pictures on my wall. Every Saturday, rap attack, Mr. Magic, Molly Mall.
Hello, Brooklyn. I love your corners. I'm half your soul. I love your corners. I'm half your soul. I love your corners. I'm half your soul.